welcome to this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Chris Brown. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
You know, we did a series on healing. And I had one final message that I didn't get onto because last Sunday we celebrated and did Thanksgiving and focused on that theme. And now we're really in the Christmas season. I'm going to lean into that. So I have got a great message on healing and I'm going to bring it next year at some point. So we're going to revisit that subject. But we always are available at the end of the service to pray. You can always grab me or Ruth or Byron or Hudson or, you know, one of our people here who are happy to pray for you, especially in the area of healing, because we do believe that God's got great power available, as Jesus promised. We lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So you want to lean into that, and you can get the podcast of those messages. We had a great guest, Kate Forsyth, and you can listen to that and lean into that, as I said. So, you know, we're talking about Christmas and carols, our carol service, got the carols in the stadium, you go to the shops, you hear carols, turn on the radio, you hear carols. So what's your favourite carol? I wonder, you don't have to respond, we'll be here all day, but you know, in the UK, they do an annual poll, and every year, the number one carol is voted in as Oh Holy Night, good guess. Of course, some people love Silent Night, which is the most recorded Christmas carol of all time. Others say their favourite is A Baby in a Manger, written by our very own Linda Brady. And when I say others, I mean her husband and children. But it is a brilliant carol. And my personal favourite is O Come All Ye Faithful, which we sang the chorus of, brilliant tag, thank you, Bethany and crew, on the end of that worship song. Now, you probably know O Come All Ye Faithful. If you don't, come next week, you'll hear it a lot. They don't know who exactly wrote this one. Possibly John Francis Wade or Christoph Gluck. And if you don't know who those people are, you can talk to Rod, because he will know every composer of music all through history, and hopefully he didn't stop in the 70s, and he knows all the rock and roll composers as well, but certainly classical composers, or even George Handel, you may have heard of him. These are all composers back in the 1700s, but they're not sure. In fact, some people say it might have been written earlier, a century earlier, by King John IV of Portugal. We do know it was some time ago because it says, O come all ye, Y-E. So, you know, old-fashioned. Of course, it was written in recent times by composer Bruce from Dubbo, it'd be come ye, use, you know, or can use. One word, C-A-R-N-Y-O-U-Z, can use. Anyway, whatever. But whoever it was, they were anointed when they wrote it. Anointed by God, because it's not just a nice tune, the words are powerful, moving, and biblically sound. But of course, like many carols, you can find yourself just singing them and not thinking about the words. So let's think about the words. I'm going to reflect on them. In fact, just two lines I want to look at today and some of the words that are in there. Now, as you may know, I like a three-point sermon. And since it's the Christmas season and I'm feeling generous, I'm going to give you not just one, but 2 3-point sermons. It's not a 6-point sermon. It's 2 3-point sermons. And they're just rolled together. The first one is based on the first line of the hymn, and the second sermon, if you like, is based on the first line of the chorus. So one relates to our calling, who we are, and one relates to our ministry or what we do. So the first 3-pointer is to notice who we're called to be. And, of course, it starts with, come all ye faithful. So we'll return to the come all ye. But just think of that word faithful, because we're called to be people who are both full of faith and faithful. In other words, trusting in God and trustworthy. And that's, I think, captured in that word, because, you know, the word, the invite in that carol, come all ye faithful, there's an invitation to be a faithful follower of Jesus, but sadly, some people only fleetingly rather than faithfully follow Jesus. It's just a short phase, if you like. Sometimes people get excited for a little while about following Jesus, or they only pray to God when they need his help, and then they sort of, you know, forget about him and the call that he has on their life. But the faithful are those who not only come to Christ, they continue on in Christ. And that's God's call for us, for the long haul. Because later in that same carol, it goes, sing all ye citizens of heaven above. And that's scriptural. Like I said, this is a biblically sound carol, like most of them are, written by full-on Christians back in the day. Because that scripture is, as you may know, in Philippians 3 verse 20. And it says, we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Saviour. And so a faithful follower of Jesus has an awareness of their ultimate eternal destiny, that we are just travelling on earth and this isn't all there is. Our ultimate home is in heaven. And that's going to help you be faithful for the long haul. Because it's not just, oh, Jesus, help my life be a bit better here. No. I'm becoming a citizen of heaven. I'm proud to be an Australian citizen. I trust you are, if you are, proud to be an Australian citizen. And, of course, if you travel, as we have, I've mentioned before, you know, you've got a kangaroo on your passport, and that can come in handy at, you know, tough Russian borders, as we've shared over the years back in the day, you know. They swagger up to your car, you're in trouble just for breathing. You think, oh, no, here we go. It's all like, and you quickly get out your passport. They go, kangaroos. Okay, you're fine. You know, innocent little Aussies, you know, what harm could you do? They just think you're cute. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you got a big J on your heart. You've got your passport for wherever you go on earth. You've got a passport for eternal glory, you know, and eternal life isn't just when you die, it starts now. We have that sense of great life going on here. So Christmas reminds us of this relationship between heaven and earth, that heaven came to earth, that eternity broke into time, that a way has been opened up for us to go beyond the natural into the supernatural, to be connected to this wonderful eternal Father in heaven that we will get to know more and more until we're fully in glory in his presence. That's kind of cool, isn't it? And so that makes you want to be a faithful follower, not just a, you know, part-timer or casual, like a committed full-time worker rather than a casual who comes and goes, you know. And of course, faithful followers, it's a great witness to the world. It helps people discover Jesus, because, I mean, I spoke to a guy this week. I've known him for 35 years, and he's recently come to faith in Christ. And one of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of the reasons he shared with me was that he had observed our family, our walk with God over the years, over the decades, our kids, the way we raised them, the way they've turned out, how they're living today. And he found all that quite a compelling argument, he shared with me over the phone, for the real noticeable results of being a faithful follower of Christ. So that's a good witness, isn't it? You never know how and who your consistent Christian walk is witnessing to the world. And just the way you live consistently with Jesus is showing people this is a good way to live. And of course, with the Holy Spirit living in us, if we are full of faith and faithfully following the Lord, the Holy Spirit empowers us to be faithful to others, you know, to be faithful in our marriage, faithful to our families, trustworthy. You know, our word is our bond, as they say, to be reliable. You can speak the truth. People know that you're consistent, that they can count on you. And so that makes for great relationships, great friendships. So it's a no-brainer. Come all ye faithful, you know, decide, sign on, say, yeah, I'm going to be a faithful follower. Yeah, let's be faithful people. Joyful. The Lord calls us to be joyful. And we can be, not out of striving and putting on a brave face, but we can be filled with joy because of Christmas. You can be, I mean, you can be happy. You can be happy when the right things are happening, right? Happenstance, happy circumstances, like Christmas presents and food and festivities. But of course, for some people, Christmas isn't a happy time. Some people find it a lonely time. Some people find it a very difficult time. They struggle with family gatherings because of fractured relationships, or it triggers some past pain, or there's some relative they don't get along with, and it's all, you know, full of conflict and chaos, and, you know. But regardless of your situation, because of the Christmas message, we can be joyful, and joy overrides or goes beyond or goes much deeper than just happening and happiness and happy stuff going on because of Jesus, because he came, because he's come so we can be rescued from sin and guilt and shame and purposeless living, then that's a thrill, you know. That's something that we can carry all the time. So that is joy deep inside, bubbling up, overcoming circumstances, situations, and you don't need favourable circumstances to have that joy. You can carry that wherever you go. I caught up with someone this week who, they really have a very difficult health situation. Like years ago, the doctors said, get your affairs in order. Like, I'm talking serious. I'm not talking a bit of back pain, or, you know, I've got a twinge here. Or it's like, okay, this is probably going to be it. And that went, and yet they're still here. And they're living a rich life. They're not whinging. You wouldn't know about this health situation if you talked to them. They have a rich life, they're productive, they're contributing, they're loving their children, they're great conversationalists, they're engaging. This person is just amazing. And that's the joy of the Lord. Right? The joy of the Lord is your strength, the Bible says. And in his presence, Psalm 16 verse 11, in his presence is fullness of joy. So this person, no surprises, is a Christian who walks in the presence of the Lord, who's obviously got a relationship with the Lord, and that brings joy beyond the personal pain and physical pain and health issues. And so that's a great, as I said before, that's a great witness, but it's also enjoyable for them. You can enjoy life even in painful times. You can have that joy that sustains you through difficulties. Jesus said this amazing promise on this subject. Maybe it's coming up. Why do I have no one else like Timothy? Is that only me that can see that? Oh, yeah. Paul's writing, that's a quote from 2 Timothy. I mean, it's good scripture, but I know, there it is. Okay, so I don't know why I get to see Timothy up there. I'll just enjoy reading 2 Timothy while... Anyway, here it is, John 15, 11. I've told you this, Jesus has been talking to the disciples about love and relationship with him and abiding in the vine. I've told you this so that, look at that, my joy may be in you, and get this, your joy may be complete. That I looked up the word in Greek. You know the word in Greek for complete? It means complete. I know you'd appreciate the study that has gone into that. I mean, that's a crazy promise, isn't it? That's what a concept. That's a very elusive experience for many people. How could I have complete joy? Well, it's because it's Jesus saying, my joy will be in you. Again, it's not something we conjure up. It's not something we go looking for. It's something we just tap into by having a relationship with him and letting the Holy Spirit grow in us, and joy being one of the qualities and attitudes and character traits of God and the Holy Spirit in us, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, like that list in Galatians, it bubbles up, it grows in us. That's a great promise to believe for, isn't it? And say, yeah, I'm a joyful person. I'm come all you faithful, joyful and triumphant. Because of Jesus, we win. He's overcome sin, death, every attack that the devil brings against us. And we step into that place of victory through faith in Jesus. Again, nothing we earn, nothing we deserve, nothing we do by ourselves, but by faith. Here's a great scripture for you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. This is the same John that recorded that gospel. Later on, he wrote letters. You get them at the end of the Bible. three different letters, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. 1st John 3, verse 8, the reason the Son of God, Jesus, appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Come on. So, of course, we have battles in life, but Jesus has won the war. So military people, Alan, Hudson, anyone else, you know, they'll tell you, and they know their military history, there's some battles, you know, that may have been lost. I mean, hey, you don't even have to be in the military. We all know about Gallipoli. It, I believe, was not a great success. But it was one terrible battle on the way to ultimate victory in World War One. And so, you know, you can have times and will have times of stress and difficulty and challenges and trouble. And but because Jesus has come and destroyed the devil's work, he's overcome the enemy, then you get ultimate victory. You have that promise that you'll get there. I mean, worst case scenario. What's the worst case scenario? You die. Well, guess what? Death, where is your sting? You're in the Lord's presence. Now, I'm not saying you don't fight for healing or just walk in front of a truck casually, you know, but you live a rich life. You believe for that. But along the way, we have that great hope and sense that, as John said, even just a chapter later in that same letter, 1 John 4, verse 4, he says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And so that's the Holy Spirit living in you, saying, hey, you're more than a conqueror. You're on the winning side. It's going to work out. So we're faithful, we're joyful, we're triumphant people. Amen? So there's just three of the many qualities and attitudes that God calls us to that wants to grow in us. So then the second thing I thought of when I was reading the words of that carol, that song, the three things we're called to do, which is the chorus, which we sang this morning, because it says, O come, let us adore him. So think about that. O come. There's an invitation for us all to approach Jesus, because he's given us an opportunity to respond, but we have free will. He came to earth so that we can come to God and find forgiveness, freedom from sin, purpose, meaning, wonderful eternal life. So obviously the calling is on each one of us. Don't miss the opportunity. Don't, you know, misuse your free will. Don't just come to all the other things that are on offer because people invite you. Hey, come to my party, you know. Entertainment options. Come and watch this. Come and check out this. Come, you know, we're all, if you're not careful, you know, when you catch up with people, if you're not careful, you go, hey, look at this. Oh, come and see this. Come and see this. And people just staring at their phone. At least they're engaging by showing someone else their phone, as opposed to you might have been caught sometimes with family or friends at a restaurant or a cafe and you're all staring at your phones, you know, and just checking messages. Like, you know, so I caught up with a bunch of motorbike guys and one of them took a photo and then said, really? You know, like, what is going on? There's that four of us and we'll just stand at the phone like, yeah, great to catch up, fellas. Like, what? Put your phone away, you know. So there's a lot of options. You know, come to the party, come to the beach, come to the... Well, that's all very good, but come to the Lord. Yes. Come and let us adore him, yes. You know. Not just at Christmas time, all the time, in prayer, in just... beginning of the day, not just quickly checking the news or the weather app or the whatever, you know, emails. Filling yourself with all the dramas of the world. Yeah, just come before the Lord. Read that devotional thing that you get for free and there's a million good ones, you know, or that Bible reading plan that you've got on your phone. Or if you find the phone too distracting because you find yourself flipping from the Bible, then you get your paper Bible out, analog old-fashioned Bible, you know. Actually look at that and you keep the phone in the drawer until you're finished, you know. Do whatever it takes so that you come, yeah. And how? It says, come, let us. Us, we don't just come on our own. We come together. As the Beatles sang, I say that and I can't help but hear the song. But we come with more unity and purpose and a lot less LSD. I mean, that song, you know, come on. He got juju eyeball. He got walrus gumboot. Look, when I was a kid, I was walking around the house singing Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. And my brother rebuked me. Because he was older and clever, and he said, what are you singing? I was probably, 10 or something, because I like the Beatles. And And I had a couple of their records, you know. And I was, I was only young. And he was like, what are you singing? I said, you know, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. He goes, that's not the words. I went, oh, sorry, because he knew everything. He was smart. And I went, oh, sorry. I thought it was, he goes, that's ridiculous. How illogical. It wouldn't be Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. That doesn't make sense. Oh, what are the words? He says, I don't know, but it's not that. I'm like, okay, okay. Well, of course, LSD, John Lennon, having, you know, Lucy, and that's, those words, of course, don't mean anything, and that's what you get when you're tripping it away, you know. So anyway, years later, I say, hey, Mark, it really was. Lucy and he's going, no. Yeah. And LSD, get it, get it. And he's like, well, I didn't know at the age of 12 what LSD was, you know. Okay, now I do. And I'm like, okay. So we're on the same page there. Anyway, enough of the Beatles. We're better together. We come together to the Lord, and we're called to be us, not just me. You know, because our faith is to be, it's personal, but it's not to be private, right? It's best developed in a community of like-minded people rather than being isolated, which sadly some people do, running off on their own. But we get people who are running in the same direction and that'll help you. And you can help them, just like when you're running, you know, together. Like I saw John, was it, who was, you know, with the 10K run, some, Caleb and Jono, I think we're running together. And then there was, you know, at the end, they were happily running together. But then, of course, right at the end, someone goes a little bit faster to get over, you know. But if you're running with other people or playing sport with other people, team sport, or working together at a project at work, it's a whole lot better when you've got others cheering you on. And we do that, helping each other in life's journey. Yeah? And so we come before the Lord, and that's the power and the beauty of the local church. We don't just attend, we don't just go to church, we become the church. We get connected, we get committed, we grow and we help other people grow. So that's the us. And then, of course, finally, come, let us what? Adore him. That, you know, I mean, we've all got things that we love, all got things that we adore. Some people love their job. That's not a bad thing, you know. But maybe they find it hard to wind down over Christmas because they're, you know, so focused on it. Some people love their holidays. That's great too. You know, but if that's all that they're aiming for, some people like that's their only thing. They only work to make money so they can get away. And they go away. They're the same person. I better go somewhere else. I've got to discover myself. Maybe I'm going to go to Machu Picchu. That's where I'm going to find myself. Oh, I'm not there. All right, I'm at the pyramids. Okay, now I'm going to go. You know, and they just travel the world trying to find out some sort of sense of who they are, and that's not going to work. And of course, some people get besotted with their pet. Oh, they're adorable, you know, and their photos on there. And that's great. Nothing wrong with having a good pet, you know. But, and I'm not just talking about new puppies, cute little, you know, kittens or whatever. It could be some old, weird, mangy animal. You know, people still get pretty surprisingly besotted. You know, look at that. Oh, isn't he cute? Yeah, not, you know. Like Woody, you know, who was in our church for years, is up in Darwin. He mainly moved to Darwin because of the reptiles. He could have more. He had snakes, and he'd get them out of the cage. I'm freaking out, and he'd like pat him. Oh, isn't he cute? I'm like, no, but you know, adorable. In fact, he was on the ABC News recently, because of new laws in the Northern Territory, which state for the first time that you need a permit to own a crocodile there. And he's got crocodiles as pets, saltwater crocodiles. I mean, the killers. I'm not talking about freshies. You know the difference. Freshwater crocodiles, they're smaller and they probably just take your leg off, but that's all. But the saltwater ones, they're the killers. And Andrew, Woody, if you're watching, you're mad. But anyway, we love you. You know, He loves all these reptiles. That's honestly why I think part of the reason they went to the territory is like, we can have a menagerie of wild killing machine reptiles. Anyway, so he was on the news and I saw the clip of it. He referred to his pet croc, which he named Louis Vuitton, because he said, because if he bites me, he'll end up as a handbag. That's Woody's, you know. And he was saying the law's good, that's fine, you know, as long as I can get plenty of permits and have plenty of crocodiles, you know, walking around the house, then he's fine. Anyway, so go, Woody, with your crazy crocodiles. But whatever it is, we've got things that we adore, and that's fine. And we get to enjoy all sorts of things in life, but come on, all I'm saying is there's one thing that who really deserves our adoration. Yeah? The bright morning star, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, he's before, he's the end, he's the Alpha, the Omega, he loves us, he's the friend that sits closer than a brother, he's, you know, Jesus is incredible and wonderful and gracious, and as we heard over communion, when we don't deserve it, he loves us, and that's a revelation that sometimes doesn't always drop in, because our human understanding of love and grace is not nearly at his level. And so that's hopefully something we can get a hold of and then run with. So that's why we come to be the church, why we come and adore him, because he's so worthy of our adoration, yeah, of our worship. And we pray, we read the Bible, we try and walk in his presence and share his love for other people, and we want to obey him and follow him and serve him. Amen? And so come, all you, yea, yous, who are faithful, joyful and triumphant, and come, let us adore him at Christmas and all the time. Amen? All right, let's pray. Wonderful. Father God in heaven, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for the days ahead to celebrate, to have some holidays, to eat lots of wonderful food and open presents and see kids excited and go to the beach and enjoy summer and all that. But we come and adore you, Lord Jesus. We focus in on you. We appreciate you as the one who deserves our worship, our humble, repentant attention and commitment of our lives. And you know, today, all of us, most of us, you know, have made a commitment of our life into the hands of God. But if you've never done that, I'd love to pray for you at the end of the service. Just come and see me. If you know you need to give your life to Christ in the same way that he gave his life for you, Jesus came so that you can come into the family of God. And you don't become a Christian just by going to church or living in Australia or being a nice person. It's a personal relationship, and the ball is in our court to say, yes, thank you, Lord, you've come. Now I will come to you. A simple, powerful prayer of commitment that opens up a whole lifetime and lifestyle of prayer and commitment. So if you want to pray that maybe for the first time or maybe as a recommitment of your life, come and see me at the end of the service down the front here, and I'll pray with you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us all to be faithful and carry that joy and that sense of victory and triumph in our lives as a witness to the world and as a buoyant spirit enraptured with you and your calling on our lives. Touch every life here today. We thank you. Your blessing on every family over Christmas as we gather together. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.